And you know that I spent some years dairy farming, and I really liked farming. I really do. I like the animals more than I like the groundwork, but I really like to farm. I remember my class ring was had a tractor and some corn and different things on it. You could order your class ring that kind of symbolized what you wanted to do. Here I go. I'm gonna be a farmer, and I can remember. I'm going to be, and I put in there, a successful farmer, because I just don't want to farm. I want to succeed at that. And I worked hard at farming, and I learned many things from farming. And I learned one thing, that building fence is a challenge. Building new fence is a challenge, especially a permanent fence. Now, I'm not talking get your little wire with no barbs on it and run around and stick these pieces of yellow rod in the ground and just kind of loop it around and go to the next one and then get back to the barn and hook electric to it. Any bozo can do that. We're talking about building fence. Fence that's going to last. I'm telling you what, I repaired fence that my grandfather built, his father built. Fence that will last. It's hard work for sure. And it's dangerous. Push the picture. It's dangerous. Because you're working with miles and miles of barbed wire. It's sharp. It's supposed to be sharp because the cows are going to be uncomfortable when they come up against it. When we were pasturing a 20-acre lot, we were building fence around it. And you need a post about every 20 to 30 feet. And there was that means you got to have somewhere between 800 and 1,000 posts that you've got to drive into the ground. You got to have somewhere between 3 and 4 miles of barbed wire fence. You got to have somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 staples. And you got to make sure that all of that, $4,000 or $5,000 worth of product, all into the field. You got to make sure that it creates a fence. It's just not gonna. You just can't throw it into the middle. You just can't sit it in the corner. I'm just going to set some of the rolls over here and some of the rolls over here. Whoa, I got a fence. It's not going to work. It takes work to build a fence. It takes a lot of work to build a fence. You got to have well-braced corners. And these are the two corners. I'm going to give you fencing 101 today. And it's not with a sword. It's with a post mall. Fencing 101. Here's your corners. You got to have bracing on your corners because it's the solid parts of your fence. And you can have the end brace, we'll call it, where you come down a set of corner posts and come down and the wires are going across and pulling against that corner post. It has to be well braced. Or you can have like an H brace and then you have wire holding it together because you just can't support it across the top of the post because the top of the post will move when you tighten the wire. You got to have these solid corner posts. You got to have well-braced gate areas because they are the points that held the fence tight together and makes it all one fence. The fence all connects. Often you would string a strand of wire from corner to corner or from corner to gate to get yourself a straight area where you could build a straight fence. Because you certainly didn't want the neighbor to come down the road and look at your fence and it looks like you'd had one too many Budweisers. And so you would draw a line and you would make it straight and make this quality fence to do the quality work that it was set forth to do. I think barbed wire wants to be a fence. The posts are only there to hold the wire apart between the corners and the gates. And you learn, I learn anyway, and you can disagree with me if you want, but don't drive the post staples in all the way because the wire needs to move in that post staple. So if you want to tighten it up later, it would actually pull through the wire on each post to retighten it. Corners, well-braced. Gate areas, well-braced. Posts that separate the wire. And don't drive the staple in too far. You can build fence alone, but a couple of people could really build a bunch of fence in a day. And the slow parts were like crossing the creek. And I know if your last name is C-R-E-E-K, it's creek. If you got water in you, it's C-R-E-E-K, it's creek. I don't know. It's just a Tioga County thing or whatever. But I'm telling you, across the creek with your friend Mr. Creek. Okay, I got that. I don't know the dynamic of all of that, but I know that's the rules, okay? It's creek and creek. You can, Mr. Creek, and you build a fence over the creek. The creek parts were the challenging parts. The creek parts, crossing the creek was a challenging part. You may be able to run 300 feet of fence an hour if you got a good helper. And crossing a creek may cost you an hour just crossing the creek. Crossing the creek took time. The next slide is crossing the creek. You got to brace your fence. I took time to draw this up. You may want to, somebody just take your phone out and take a picture of that because you just appreciate that drawing. You got to cross the creek. You can't just drive a post in and bring the wire down to it because when that wire gets tight, guess what's happened? That post is going to float into the air. You've got to brace it down. If you don't think a cow won't go out of a fence in a creek, and you don't know cows. The cow will find a place to get out, and if it's in your creek or creek, he's going out that fence. You better know how to build a fence around the creek. And it took time. It took a lot of time to build a fence across the creek. It took extra energy. It took extra wire. It took extra ingenuity. It took the time to invest in that because that part and portion was as important as any other part of the fence. So you need a strong fence. Bible study, I think, studying the Bible is much like building fence. It's hard work, yes. It's dangerous, yes. It takes time, yes. You got to have well-braced tension points. You got to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you what, that's the corner. And that corner is braced, and you can build your fence against that corner. And you need to know about salvation. You need to know about what God's doing. You need to know about His grace. They're the corners that are going to keep our fence straight and tight. Well-braced tension points all connects together. Yes, alone, sure. Group study better at times. You better believe it. Creek crossings, there is creek crossings in the Bible. Or your creek crossings in the Bible. We're coming to a creek crossing this morning. All that to say, this passage is a creek crossing pass. We better slow down on these passages, and we better understand, what do you want me to know? I can read over these passages pretty quick, but I want to know, God. I want to spend the extra time here in this passage. We started building the fence over this passage last week. And this is definitely a creek crossing passage. And it says in 1 Corinthians 2:8, it says, none of the rulers of this age understood it or understood what God wanted for their life, understood that God is love and God is grace and God is holy and God is justice and God wants so much for their lives. So the rulers didn't understand that. And so they crucified the Lord of glory. So they dampened, they put out the passion of the Lord of glory. We talked about that last week. We talked about how am I failing to know and understand God and His ways and therefore subdue the passion in my life. Push the button. He subdues the passion in my life. Am I doing that? We talked about that last week. Am I not understanding what God wants and who God is? And what He wants for my life. And so somehow I push Him aside. God, I don't trust You. I don't know if this is God. And I start to push Him aside and push Him aside. And as I push God aside in my life, the passion of the Lord of glory is being extinguished in my life. You know, we talked about things like, do I know that God does not want me to be balanced? He wants me to be radical. We talked about things like, do I know that God hates sin and I have made this alliance or this agreement with this habitual sin in my life, thinking that God's okay with that. God's okay with you. He's not okay with it. And He says, well, that sin is the fire extinguisher of my passion in your life. And I want to light you up, but that sin keeps blowing the water on the fire that I put in you. And we've got to know that God may not remove the consequences of my sin when He forgives me. We got to know, and we said it last week, we got to know that forgiveness is a relationship healer, not a consequence eraser. But when I don't think, when I think my consequences are still here, God didn't forgive me, and now I'm living a life like God didn't forgive me. And then I subdue the passion, or extinguish the passion of the Lord of glory in my life. And do you know that God thinks dying is better than sinning? We talked about that last week. This week, I want to ask the question, if the passion of the Lord of glory comes alive in my life, what will I look like? We talked about how I might subdue that last week. The creek was only half covered last week. When I went back to this passage, I knew there was more. I knew it had become a creek passing, a creek crossing message. I knew the passage took more time. I needed to get back in that. I needed to string the wires across it because this is going to take more time to understand. We talked about last week, how do I subdue the passion? But this week, how do I know that the passion is alive in my life? What will happen to me when the passion of the Lord of glory comes alive in my life? What am I going to look like? What will I look like? I've entitled this message today, Evidence of the Passion. You remember the old, and I came to Christ right at like the Promise Keeper movement in this world. And I can remember my dad taking me to some Promise Keeper events, and I can remember being there cold as stone at some of them. And I can remember coming to Christ and then back to stand in the gap and back to other ones where I was gathering with 40, 50,000 men of God. And I can remember him, let the glory of the Lord rise among us. And I could just hear that cried out over and over and over by 50,000 guys. And then they connected us to another stadium in Georgia. And I could hear from another 50 or 60,000 guys that were being plugged in. I started to hear the men of God starting to cry out, oh, let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Can you imagine how that pleased God? To listen, to let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. That it is very pregnant, I'm telling you. Let it rise. What will I look like, though? What will I look like if God shows up and that happens in my life? What will I look like if the glory of the Lord rises up in me and rises through me and rises into this world? What will I look like? John 16 says this, 13 and 14 says, but when he's talking about the Spirit. Jesus is talking, but when he, the Spirit of truth. So when the Spirit, I'm talking about the Spirit of truth, Jesus says, comes, the Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. The Spirit of truth will only speak what the Spirit of truth hears. And the Spirit of truth will tell you what is yet to come. The Spirit of truth will also, listen, will bring glory to me, Jesus talking here, will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and giving it to you. That's another creek crossing passage. I'm telling you that right now. But we're going to throw a little bit of line across it today. So the Spirit, Jesus said, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. And one of the things he's going to do is he's going to take what is mine and he's going to give it to you. The Spirit's going to give you what is mine and make it known to you. He's going to take what is mine and make it known to you. No doubt that's more than we can imagine. But I am certain that it includes the passion of Jesus. I'm certain that passage, what is going to be known to us, is the passion of Jesus. I think the Spirit of God is going to take the passion of Jesus, and maybe additional, a million other things, but no doubt in every one of us, and some of that might be the gifts of different gifts and different things of Jesus are going to be known to you and maybe not so known to me, but the passion of the Lord of glory is going to be given to every one of us. He said, that's what the Spirit's going to do. He's going to guide you in all truth. But let me tell you one thing he's going to do. He's going to take my passion and he's going to give it to you. And you're going to have the passion of the Lord of glory inside of you. And the first word that came to me this week when I said that out loud to myself at my desk, that is uncappable. Do you know on your word processing program, uncappable is not a word? They try to underline it in red. It says, that's not a word. I said, you don't know my Jesus. Add it to my dictionary. Uncappable is a word in my dictionary now. Because that passion of Jesus is going to be uncappable. You can extinguish it with sin, or you can extinguish it by rejecting Jesus. You can extinguish it by putting Jesus to the curb or shoving him out of your house. But when the Lord of glory comes, when the Spirit comes upon you, and he's going to give you the passion of Jesus, it's got to do something. And you can't cap it. You're going to have to extinguish it, or you're going to have to get away from it. I don't think this message is brand new news. I think we've heard things like this before. I believe that it is a reminder, though. And I also believe that this message is a permission giver to be filled with the passion of the Lord of glory. I think we need permission to have this passion of the Lord of glory. Let this passage, let this message give us permission to let that passion that the Spirit is taking from Jesus and he's bringing to you and he's putting it into you, I want you to have permission to let that grow and let that come out of your life. And what will that look like? That's where we're getting to. What will I look like? What will I look like when that happens? What will I smell like? What will I look like? What will I taste like? What will I act like? What will it be like? We know that we will look strange to this world. I'm telling you one thing. This world looks strange enough. It might as well look Jesus strange. And this world might even fight against you, the one who is being altered by the passion of Jesus. Push the button, please. It is okay to be altered by the passion of the Lord of glory. It's okay to do that. God gives you, the Spirit gives you permission to be altered by the glory, by the passion of the Lord of glory. It's okay. You will look weird, no doubt. You may look strange to this world. But this world has a way of extinguishing those things that normally would bring healing to this world. They like to put it out because death is ruling this world. So this uncappable passion, what does it look like? What am I going to look like? If I got the passion of Jesus by the Spirit integrated into my heart, into my soul, into my life, what will I look like? John 14, I'm going to give you four things today. John 14, 30 and 31 says this. This is Jesus talking. I figure if I got to look back and see what the passion of Jesus is, what he did when he was on this earth, and I'm going to look just like him. I'm going to look just like Jesus. If he's going to take, he didn't change. He didn't change. He hasn't changed. The same passions that are written about him in the Word of God are the passions that he still has today. And the passions that the Holy Spirit is going to take and infuse our hearts and our souls with, and we will be uncappable. Come on now. I, Jesus, will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane very shortly from this point on. It has no hold on me. The enemy is not dragging me here. That's what he's saying. I will not speak much longer to you because the devil of this world, he has no hold on me. But he's the one who's trying to extinguish the passion of God in me, the passion of the Father. My passion, he's trying to subdue it. He can't subdue it. And so I don't think what's going to happen to me in the next few days is the prince of this world, is Satan trying to subdue my passion. That's not what's happening. He's not killing my passion. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what the Father has commanded me to do. I love the Father and I must do what the Father, in a very short period of time, Jesus is going to the cross. He has the passion to carry out the will of the Father. He has a passion to be obedient to the Father. When we are altered by the passion of Jesus, we will have a passion to be obedient to the Father. For obedience to the Father, that's going to happen. Because Jesus says, it's going to take what is mine, and he's going to bring it over here, and he's going to give it to you. And Jesus says, this is what is my passion, is to obey the Father. The world will know that I love. With this passion, or this zeal, or this enthusiasm, or this craze, or this fervor. Not only when it's easy, but when the cost is great. Being obedient is not always fun. Obedience is not always popular. But we will have a passion to be obedient to God. Obedience will rise up in my life. What will I look like? More obedient to God. We will be yes people. Oh, nobody wants to be a yes person. When it comes to God, you want to be a yes person. I'm telling you, the passion of the Lord of glory, the passion of Jesus infused in us by the Holy Spirit is going to turn us into yes, Lord people. Yes, God, yes. Whatever you want, yes. Whatever you say, God, yes. Whatever you bring into my, yes, God. I want to say, yes, God. I will love the unlovable. And I will run toward the hurting. I will be patient. Push the button. I will be patient because you say to be patient, not because my environment is easy to be patient in. If you've got one of those environments, please sign me up to visit you one day this week. But I will no longer, as the passion of Jesus comes alive in me, I will no longer look for situations that are easy to be patient in. I will just be, oh, patient. I will be patient in that in the presence because I want to be obedient to God. I will repent and I will let my light shine and I will keep your word. Why? Because God said to do it. And I will go the second mile and I will love my enemies, not because they're easy to love. Most of them are jerks. But God said, love them. He said, I'm not asking if it's easy. But when you have the passion of Jesus in me, it's going to be something you do. You will love your enemies and you won't judge. And you will do unto others as you would have them do unto you just because you're being obedient to me. You will honor your parents and you will love your wives and you will respect your husbands. And you will give just because I say give. You won't have to have it all laid out before you sometimes. Because you're just being motivated to give. You're being motivated to love. You're being motivated to respect because God says it. Because the passion of Jesus is in you. And because the passion of Jesus says, I'm going to do what the Father says to do. I'm going to be obedient. What am I going to look like? You're going to be radically obedient to God. You just will. Because that passion can take you nowhere else than the obedience to God. The world will know that we love the Father and do exactly what He says. Push the button. The world will know. This world will know that we love the Father and we're going to do exactly what He says. Don't tell me I can't love the unlovable. Don't tell me I got to have a critical spirit. Don't tell me I got to judge people. Don't tell me because God says I can be obedient to Him and I'm not going to do those things. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do things that He's called me to do. That's going to be a radical obedience in our word, in our world. Matthew 14 says this. Just let me run down through some of these. This is number 2. Jesus went up to the mountainside by Himself and prayed. After leaving them, Jesus went up to the mountainside to pray. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left his house and went off to a solitary place and he prayed. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. We're going to have a passion for prayer. Why? Because that's what Jesus has. He said, you're going to have a passion to spend time with the Father. You're going to have a passion to share and talk and to communicate with God. You're going to have a passion to sit alone with God just because He is God. Not because He's some kind of divine Walmart. You're going to have this passion to sit with the Father. You're going to be late at night or early in the morning. You're going to find yourself hungering to spend time with God. To walk with Him, to communicate with Him, and to talk with Him. Why? How do I know that? Because that's what Jesus' passion was. And if the Spirit takes His passion and He infuses it into me, I've got to think I'm going to start having, I'm growing hunger to spend time with God. Not just time away. Now I just need time away. No. You might need time away, but don't kind of get time away with time with God. That's not what we're talking about. Time away, you might be able to go to Disney World. I don't think time with God you're going to spend in Disney World. I don't have a problem with time away. Don't hear that. But the passion of Jesus is to spend time with the Father. And I think we're going to have this passion to spend time with the Father. We're going to be hungry to spend time with the Father. This world will know that we love the Father and spend time with Him in prayer. Push the button. And we spend time with Him in prayer. We will become known as people of prayer. We often quote in these days that our world is upside down and we're what? And I won't even go on some of the things. What? Sorry, Mr. Potato Head. I don't know. I'm telling you what, I'm not going to be a Mr. Potato Head advocate or somebody that's trying to hang him. I don't know what's going on there. I'm not going to be known as a Mr. Potato Head advocate. I'm not going to have a sign or a shirt that says, "Say Mr. Potato Head!" But I do want a shirt that says, "This guy spends time with God the Father. This guy spends time with Jesus. He spends time with the Father. He communicates with the Father. He's spending time with God. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of prayer. You want to talk with Him. He knows. He is a man of prayer. He is communicating with God. How am I communicating with God? Because the passion of Jesus is being infused into me by the Holy Spirit, and His passions are rising up in me. I think I'm short-circuiting my... I have a heart monitor on. I'm going to have to tell the cardiologist that I was preaching during that section. I short-circuited it last week. I'm still going. I want to be known as people who are obedient to God, no matter what. I want to be known as people who are people of prayer and people who spend time with God. This world will know that we love the Father and spend time with Him. This is not in the message, but it says this: "Be still and know that I'm God." Psalm 46:10. The second line of that: "And I will be exalted among the nations." How does one guy be still and know that he is God? And all of a sudden, the very next line says, "And I will be exalted among the nations." People know when the people of God spend time with the Father. When Jesus landed, number 3, 14:14 of Matthew, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them and healed their sick. We will have a passion for the hurting. Push the button, please. we will have a passion for the hurting. How do I know that? Because Jesus had a passion for the hurting. And I got just a short piece on that. You know what? The Nicodemuses of this world will still find somebody in the middle of the night to talk to. Do you know what? The woman at the well is still going to have someone who will show up in the most inopportune place, the inconvenient place, to infuse truth into her life. That will still happen today. Because that was the passion of Jesus. To show up to the Nicodemuses in this world. To show up for the women at the well of this world. To show up at Zacchaeus' bottom of his tree. He said, there's still people up a tree in this world. And I'm looking for people to send to the bottom of the tree. There's still people showing up when they've been cast out by society. They're still showing up at the well. There's people that are still too scared to come in the daylight. But they'll come in the darkness. And I want people with a passion of the Lord of glory to show up at those trees, to show up at those wells, to show up in the darkness. The blind will still hear a voice that really cares. And the leper will find someone who will actually touch him or her. This world will know that we love the Father and have compassion for the hurting. Let me finish with this one. John 4:35 says this, do not say. This is one of those things when your mom or your dad used to grab you kind of by the short hairs of your back of your neck. That's, you know why they're there? That's just to give direction to young people. That's the only reason you grow short hairs in the back of your neck, so somebody can grab a hold of those short hairs. The long hair can work, but these short hairs, they're a little tender. And this is what I think Jesus is saying, do not say, Peter, do not say. 4 more months and then the harvest. Do you not say 4 more months to the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, exclamation point. They are ripe to harvest. Jesus said, you're going to see people that need me. You're going to have a passion for those without Christ. A passion for the lost, we will be unwilling to relent. We will not relent in the advancement of the gospel. Fear and apathy and ignorance and hypocrisy will all go away in our lives. Why? Because they're not in Jesus. Without Christ, people are heading to a Christless eternity. We just sang about it. Do you know that? He poured out all his blood upon the cross. He has a passion for the lost. I fear that the church as a whole has lost its passion for the lost. And he said, I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference in your life. When this passion of the Lord of glory comes alive in your life, all of a sudden you're going to start caring about people who are lost. I can remember when I was having a God moment one time, and we were watching a movie, and a guy who wasn't behaving himself very well, he got killed. It was a good for the movie, but... And I was thinking the whole time, and I said out loud, I said, I wonder if he knew Christ. And then somebody said, this is a movie, you know that? This world will know that we love the Father and are unwilling to relent in the advancement of the gospel. What will you look like? Last slide, I promise. We will have a passion for obedience to the Father. What will it look like? I'll have a passion for prayer. What will it look like? I'll have a passion for the hurting. And I'll show up at the trees and the wells and in the darkness. What will it look like? I'll have a passion for those without Christ. Will you look strange in this world? Absolutely. but he's looking. He's looking. He's looking to take the passion of the Lord of glory through the Spirit and into the church and into my life and into your life. Will we let him do? This is where I'm going to end today. Will you let him do what that passion wants to do in your life? Or will you continue, and will I continue to extinguish the passion of the Lord of glory and just live out life? Stand with me today. God, I just want to say out loud, I think that some of that is real in our midst right now. I see you working in my life. I see you working in people's lives. I see people weeping over the loss. I see people running to the hurting. I see people spending time in prayer and seeking you. I see people doing things that are complete obedience to you, even if it doesn't make sense in the world around them. I see that. I see that happening, Lord. And I'm hungry to see more of that in my life and in our lives. That we will come to the point where the passion of the Lord of glory continues to flow out of us. And this world will know. This world will know. When we're still and know that you're God, you will be exalted among the nations. You will be known. So, Father, help us as a body of believers. Help us as individuals. Help us as families. Help us as young. Help us as old. Help us as just getting started. Help us as those that have been walking with God for years and years and years. Help us allow that passion of the Lord of glory to rise up in our life. And let it do what it wants to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.